Today we continue in Nachyomi, our study of the Novi Zechariah, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. Again, this is Zvi Hirsch Weinreb, studying together with you this next step in the story of Zechariah. We, again, will be heavily influenced by the Malbim's take, the Malbim's approach to this next chapter. It is interesting that today, the day I am recording this, is the fourth day of Kislev of the year 5771. It is November 11th, 2010. And I am recording this on the day which thousands of years ago this Nevuah occurred, as we will see now. It's one of these strange coincidences that I'm actually awestruck by the fact that I am doing this on the day, very day, mentioned in this Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi bishnas arba, it happened in the fourth year, the last communication, so to speak, of the Dvar Hashem to Haggai and Zechariah was in the second year of Daryovish. There were 2 years without any chazon me Hashem, without any vision from God. Wasn't time yet. And now, in the fourth year, as we will see, for a certain reason, the Dvar Hashem again appears to Zechariah. Hoyo Dvar Hashem El Zechariah. So in the fourth year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, the word of God came to Zechariah. What day? Bi'arbo'o, on the fourth day, Lachodesh HaTishi'i B'Chislev, the fourth day of the ninth month being Kislev. That is the day that I am dictating this shiur. Vayishlach Beis'el, and he sent to Beis El. Beis El here is the Beis HaMikdosh, not the town or city of Beis El, but rather the house of God. And he sent to the house of God the following individuals: Shar Etzer, V'regem Melech, V'Anoshov. These individuals, says the Malbim, are Anoshim Nodoim Mibovel. They're men whom we know were Babylonian Jews. They are sent to the Beis HaMikdosh. L'chalos es p'nei Hashem. To appeal, to plead to God. And what they are pleading for is Lemor el HaKohanim Asher Leveis Hashem Tzvokos V'el HaNeviim Lemor. They come with a shaila, with a question, to ask the Kohanim who are in the Beis Hashem and to the Nevi'im. And they are asking them a question. And the question is, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? After all, the temple now is being rebuilt slowly. The pendulum has swung and the Jewish people seem to be on the upswing. Is it still proper, is it still necessary to fast and to renounce various pleasures on Tisha B'Av? The question being, Ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, should I cry, should I mourn in the fifth month, that's the month of Av, hinozer, do I have to withdraw from food and drink and other pleasures, this Tisha B'Av, ka'asher osisi ze kameshonim, as I have been doing, lo, these many years. So that's the shaila which these people have come to ask. The Malbim gives us some background here, important background. Why are they only asking about Tisha B'Av? What about the other fast days of the year? Tisha B'Av is only one of the big four. So the Malbim says, they wouldn't ask about the Tzom HaShavi'i, about the seventh month, meaning Tzom Gedalia, because there's no reason to fast anymore on Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedaliah was instituted because then the population, the Jewish population of Eretz Yisrael came to an end. Because when Gedaliah was killed, even the last remnant of poor people, vineyard masters, etc., left the land of Israel. But now the Jewish people slowly, and really just very few, but they are returning to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there is no place anymore for the fast of Tzom Gedaliah. But what about the other three fast days, Shavuos, Betamuz, Asor, Beteves, and Tisha B'Av? They are not fast days because there are no Jews living in the land of Israel. They are fast days because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps, even though we are now rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, but it doesn't compare to the Beis HaMikdash which we lost. So perhaps we don't have to fast anymore. Perhaps we do. But they don't ask about Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asor B'Teves. They ask only about Tisha B'Av. The Malbim suggests, because if they were told, don't fast on Tisha B'Av, then they know. If you don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av, you certainly don't have to fast B'Revi'i V'Asiri in Tammuz and in Teves. They're asking this question now on the fourth day of Kislev, because just a few weeks from now will be the tenth day of Teves, and we need to know, should we fast then or not? So this is their question. Now, before we go toward the answer to this question, Malbim lays down for us, and this is important, not only for this perek, but for the rest of the discussion of Zechariah in subsequent prokim, especially in Perek Ches, which we will do tomorrow. The Malbim says, in seven respects, the situation now, at the beginning of the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, is very, very different from the way things were in the glory days of the first Beis HaMikdash. Seven respects. Malbim here is following the Abarbanel, who lists these seven. Number one, that they see there's no Shekhinah. The Shekhinah did not return. In the first Beis HaMikdash, the presence of the Shekhinah was palpable, was apparent. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, as Chazal say, five components were missing. The Shekhinah was not apparent. Number one. Number two, here in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people are not sovereign, they're not independent. They're under the control, they're really puppets of the kings of Persia. And you never know, the kings of Persia may decide tomorrow to drive them out of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So that's number two. Number three, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, at least in the glory days, all the Jewish people were there. Now, even though the second Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt, but the majority of Jews, the vast majority, are spread out to the four corners of the earth. Number three. Number four, the land itself is still niskalalo. The land itself is still cursed. No fertility, no fruits growing, etc. Obviously, the Hashkocha, God's providence, is not here. Then number five, the Jewish people are a mockery. They're no longer the glorious, admired people who are looked up to. Now they're a mockery. They're lecherpa bein ha'amim. That's number five. Number six, a great deal of the land of Israel is under the possession of other nations. The Jewish people are only in a small corner, a small few people. Most of the inhabitants are non-Jews. And finally, number seven, there is no king from the seed of David. There is nobody there, no Moshiach ben David. So all of these seven concerns bother them. And they wonder, is such a compromised, meager temple sufficient for us to suspend the fast of Asor HaBeteves, which is coming up, or the fast of Tisha B'Av? So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives them a fascinating answer. Vayehi dvar Hashem tzevokos elai lemor. God said to me as follows. Emor el kolam ha'oretz v'el ha'kohanim lemor. Tell all the people and the kohanim. Ki tzamtem v'sofod b'chamishi uvashvi. When you went and you fasted on the fifth month, the month of Av, or the seventh month, the month of Tishrei Tzom Gedalia, v'zeh shivim shona, you've been doing this for the past 70 years, hatzom tzamtuni oni, did you make me fast? Malbim, beautiful. If a person behaves in a way that he imitates God, he's merciful, he's kind, he's compassionate, he's generous, he's charitable, then he can expect that God will act that way toward him, and God will be kind and merciful and compassionate to him. That's the way it works. If you do chesed mishpat tzedaka, God will do chesed mishpat tzedaka for you. But if you're not doing chesed mishpat tzedaka, but what are you doing? You're fasting. So what's God going to do in response? Going to fast back? Does God fast? Pasuk Vav. V'chis ochlu v'chis ishtu. Halo atem ho'uchlim v'atem ashosim. If you eat and drink, what do you expect? I, God, should eat and drink. God doesn't eat and drink. You're the ones who are eating and drinking. In other words, if you're only concerned with the dimension of eating food or fasting, having pleasure or material pleasure or refraining from it, that's not a way to kavayochel to influence me, God. Halo es hadvorim asher koro Hashem biyad hanaviim orishonim. Remember the words which I spoke to the old neviim when the first temple was standing. Pihios Yerushalayim yosheves ushalevo. When Jerusalem was well populated and tranquil, peaceful, and all the cities were round about, and everything was hunky-dory, and even the south of Israel was populated, and even the Shvela, the lowlands, the coastal regions were populated. And then I spoke to the Nevi'im, and I told them that if you want to keep this situation of security and tranquility and prosperity, you have to do chesed mishpat tzedaka. And if you don't, it'll be destroyed. And now that it is destroyed and just beginning to rebuild it, the same message. If you do chesed mishpat tzedaka, you will flourish. If not, kal v'chomer. If when you were powerful, I made you weak. If you were strong, I made you desolate. So certainly now that you are weak and desolate, if you do not do mitzvos properly, you will not flourish, you will not succeed. Vayihid var Hashem al Zechariah lemor. So God spoke to Zechariah and made this clear. Ko amar Hashem tzevokos lemor. This is the message. Mishpat emes shifotu. Judge truthfully. Do mishpat. Do justice. V'chesed v'rachamim asu ish esochiv. And act to one another with kindness and compassion. That's what I want from you. Not fasting, not refraining from food. That's not going to bring about a change in my divine behavior toward you. Here's what I want from you. Mishpat, justice, chesed, rachamim, compassion, mercy. V'almona v'yasom ger v'oni alta ashoku. Do not oppress. Do not persecute the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the poor man. V'ro'as ish ochiv al takshavu b'lvavchem. Don't sit and plot how to do the other guy in. But v'yemo'anu lahakshiv. They refuse to listen. V'yitnu chosev sorores. They turn their backs to me rebelliously. V'oznehem hichbidu mishmoa. And their ears were too heavy to hear. Now you will remember that for Malbim, lahakshiv means to listen, to hear the sounds, to listen in the auditory sense. Shemiya, lishmoa, means to hear, to obey, to listen, to get the idea. So here's how the Malbim explains Pasuk Yud Aleph. When the voice of God was very distant and couldn't be heard, then you refused even to listen to the sound. You refused to tune in to the sound. You turned your back. But even when I turned up the volume, and you heard very well, you were makshiv, you couldn't help but hear. V'yozneihem hichpidu mishmoa, you still did not listen. You may have heard with your ears, but you didn't hear with your ears. You didn't get it. V'libom samu shomir, you made your heart hard, like a metal. Mishmoa es ha-Torah, you wouldn't listen to the Torah. V'es ha-devorim asher sholach Hashem tzevokos berucho b'yad ha-neviyim ha-rishonim. There were two things you didn't listen to. You didn't listen to the Torah, and you didn't listen to the message. You didn't listen to the Musar. You didn't listen to neither. V'yihi ketzev gadol me'es Hashem tzevokos. So there was a great anger from God. V'yihicha asher korov lo shomeyu. And it came to pass that just like he, the prophet, the Navi, called, but they did not listen. Ken yikru'u v'lo eshma, so you will call, and I, God, will not listen. Omar Hashem Tzavokos, I will not listen, but rather, ve'esoareim, I will spread them to the winds. I will spread them like a storm or a hurricane or a tempest spreads them. Al kol hagoyim asher lo yida'um, to nations which you never heard of. You'll be sent to countries which are off the map. And the land will be desolate after you. It will be abandoned. There will be no travelers, no passers-by. And they will change the glorious land, the beautiful land, into ruin. This is a nevuah of Zechariah in Perek Zion, in chapter 7. Again, it's the words of Zechariah with the commentary of Malbim. We conclude chapter 7 and we move on next tomorrow to chapter 8 of Zechariah.